That's how you know it's the 70s, if you're wearing red velvet. Holy shit, it's the 70s. You're listening to Blue Yonder with your hosts, Jim Jones, and introducing A. Ron Hubbard. Everybody, welcome to episode 77 of Blue Yonder.
Going to heaven.
It's been a long time since we've done one of these.
Like August 24th, I think, according to my show notes.
That's like 5-6 months.
Oh,
100 months even. Yeah, it's been a while. We've been doing a lot of stuff. We're going to talk a little bit about what we've been doing. Talk about some of the games we've been playing, some of the TV we've been watching, other than our major TV podcast, you know.
And if you know us primarily from our TV podcast, I apologize in advance.
Yeah, this podcast is a little different.
Yeah.
So it should be interesting. What have you been doing in the 6 month hiatus that we took from podcasting?
Oh my God, what haven't I been doing? Well, I mean, first of all, it wasn't a podcasting hiatus.
We rocked
season 4 of Breaking Bad. We rocked season 2 of Walking Dead on our podcast, Breaking Good and Watching Dead, respectively.
Mm-hmm.
We got like 8,000 people.
8 million. Don't undersell us.
Yeah.
8 million. Half the internet is listening to our podcast.
Everyone in the everyone in the nation of Samoa has left us an iTunes review.
Is that amazing. American Samoa?
American Samoa.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Indonesian Samoa, we're not so big in. We own American Samoa.
What about the other American properties, like Puerto Rico? How's Puerto Rico doing?
I don't know.
Okay.
The Marinara Islands?
I don't know. The Marinara Islands?
Yeah. It's got the Marinara Trench. That's where they get the sauce.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. For Arby's.
They dredge that up from the sea.
Yeah. Arby's and Pizza Hut both use it. Like, it's a depleting resource.
There was, well, and plus before the 70s when they had the deep sea technology, there was no Marinara sauce.
Yeah. It was all nacho cheese.
We had to get that. You know, titanium steel subs that withstand the crushing depth.
Where does the horsey sauce come from?
Horses
yeah. Presumably. Yeah,
they grind that down.
It's like glue. It's all hooves.
It's like sheep on Settlers of Catan. You take four horses, you grind it up, and you get one tub. One of the little tubs of
sauce. It's off the rails already. All right, well, that leads us into a little bit of what we've been doing, right? Because we played the other night a little bit of Settlers of Catan.
Yeah, we've had, like, we're trying to get a board game renaissance going here.
Yeah.
We're massive fucking nerds, so on New Year's Eve, when all the cool people are out partying, we're going to be sipping champagne and playing board games here at the Bald Move headquarters.
The Bald Cave.
We've resisted playing Settlers for a long time. At least I have.
I played it online a couple times.
Did you?
Yeah, but only single player, so I've never really played in an actual game of it.
It's funny because when we got with Eric and Jesse of Personal Arrogance fame, and we went to PAX East and we played a lot of board games, we kind of went through a renaissance, and they recommended, like, you got to get Settlers. So I'm like, okay. And I made it a point to try to learn how to play Settlers every single time I went to a con. And they have these, you know, Mayfair. Got these.
Christopher Columbus wrote it.
The Magna Carta. Magna Carta's got all these banners that says Catan University.
University?
Yeah, like that they're there to teach you how to play and like learn how to play. And
gotcha.
Every time I go up to those banners and I say, hey, where do you sign up to learn how to play Settlers? And the university look at me and say, what the fuck are you talking about? We're running tournaments and stuff here.
Do you point to the banners
I
and
do.
Say, university means teaching, bitch?
I do. I say, and she goes, oh, well, that's in some shithole down the hall. And I go to the shithole down the hall and I ask them, and they're like, we don't have board games. Or we don't have boards, or you need to go talk to. So it's like,
bring your own game, BYOG.
I feel it's like EA's customer support hotline.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like they say they have one, but they just route you through virtual hell and spin you around and like ask you to whack a pinata and you just miss. There is no pinata. They just have you blindfolded swinging, making fun of you. But I finally just decided, like, fuck it, I'm going to buy this game as an early Christmas present for moi. And it's great. It's a hot game.
Yeah, playing it the other night with you and your girlfriend, that was kind of fun. I lost, of course, as I always lose in games.
I rocked it.
Yeah, yeah, you did pretty well.
See, it's like my girlfriend was like dead tired, and you were drunk.
Well, yeah, and part of it was that your girlfriend was playing obviously against me. She had she had the robber just sitting on my territories half the game.
Well, that's because you, to be fair, you tripled up on one primary crop.
All I had was wheat, though. What was I going to do with wheat?
It was eight. Like, all I know is every time an eight popped up, you were, like, grabbing six wheat.
Yeah, yeah, I got a lot of wheat.
So, yeah, she
And then I was grinding it into bricks somehow.
Somehow.
I don't know.
I don't know how that works either. Make it into mud.
Yeah, yeah.
What's really disturbing is when you grind sheep into bricks.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah. I don't know that cotton brick would work.
Nah, well, it's the bones. It's the bones of the sheep that you grind into brick.
So many.
Yeah, you grind them into powder. You mix them with a little water. And...
four sheep into one brick.
Anyway.
So everyone knows about this Catan. Who gives a shit, right?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, either I've heard about it and you're never going to play it, or you haven't heard about it and you should play it, or you've heard about it and you're like, yeah, it's a great game.
How about we talk about a game that everyone's heard of and no one's played recently?
Or you might have played it as a kid and dismissed it. Let's talk about... I'm thinking about Stratego. I don't know what you're thinking about.
Me too. Yeah. Okay. Stratego.
So Stratego is a two-player game, and you've got these little plastic men that are facing you, and only you can see their identities. And they've got, like, 10 different ranks, like, from private all the way to, like, the most powerful, I believe, is Marshal. And you got, like, General and Lieutenants and Captains.
Yeah,
and
I don't know the names of them. I just know the numbers.
Right. So it works out that, like, if a number 10, the highest rank... can destroy everything on the battlefield except for another 10. If they come across each other, they suicide.
And except for a spy. Yeah.
Who is the lowest rank. Mm-hmm. So you got, there's like, ooh, strategy. And you got bombs that can't move, but they blow up anything but a miner.
And I think most people are going to laugh when you say, ooh, strategy. Because Stratego, despite its name, has never been really known for strategy, I don't think.
But the thing is tons of it.
I agree. And we'll talk a little bit about that.
Plus, it's very similar to poker in that you're not just playing the board and the rules, but you're playing the man across from you.
Yeah.
Like, are you the type of guy that would put, you know, the
flag in the corner?
In the corner, surrounded by three levels of bombs? Or are you the kind of guy to, like, bury it right behind the lake in the front lines, expecting someone to blow right past it? Or just put it in the middle of any old place? Or, you know, are you the guy that's going to build a false bomb wall so the guy's, you know... run up against it and destroy their forces, and then finally get to the middle, it's just a scout.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and I was trying to come up with, while we were playing, an effective strategy on this, and I think it worked decently well in the second game. My strategy was to basically disperse all of my units equally across the board.
I wonder what you're doing.
There was no way to really tell, okay, I've hit the bomb wall now.
Right.
I've hit his defenses. Because there were no defenses. It was just random luck. And I figured that way... like, I put my heavy guys up front so they could come in and kill your guys quickly. And I was hoping that dispersing them across the board would make it difficult to find where my flag was.
I had a little bit of... I actually thought I was winning the second game. Because I had gotten your two most powerful pieces and still retained my two most powerful pieces. So it was just a matter of cautiously probing with my shit pieces for your bombs and getting your flag. But I forgot about the scout rule where he can, you know... He's kind of like a pawn, except for if there's nothing in front of him, he can go as many spaces as he wants till he hits something.
Yeah.
And you were able to use that ability to basically warp around my back lines in three moves, and I'd already moved any possible pieces to defend my flag.
Yeah.
You know? And then you still got lucky because there was three unmoved pieces. Two were bombs and one's a flag, and you picked the right one.
Well, at that point, like, I had probed deep into your defenses, and it sounds perverted. But I withdrew at some point. I was like, I don't know if his flag is over here. And then I started picking away at the other sides, and I realized, okay, I need to come back around this side, because you were moving your 10 up the middle. And I was like, uh-oh, I got some danger coming in the middle. And my bomb, or my flag was there, defended by a few bombs.
Yeah, simultaneously, I had actually reached one square away from your flag.
Yeah.
And I knew when I saw you doing that thing with the scout, I was like, oh, shit.
But this is probably boring as shit for the people who are listening. Let's talk about, like, why it's strategic. Because as you play this more with a person, you get to know their idea of strategy. Like, are they the type of person, like you said, put the flag behind the lake or whatever? And it becomes like this one-on-one mental, not quite guessing game, but like I've figured out what you've done in the past three games that's going to color what you're doing in this game.
But you know I know that.
And I know you know that.
And I know you know that.
Exactly.
It's very like rock, paper, scissors.
It's meta strategy for sure.
You know, it's like,
but it's there.
Okay, he threw scissors twice in a row. Is he the type of guy that's going to throw him three?
Uh-huh.
Or is he going to put the rock out now?
Yep.
Or, you know, should I play? That's very much the flavor of the meta strategy.
Yeah.
But then there's a lot of strategy as far as, do you dick around and you cautiously probe with scouts and miners?
Sure.
Or
do you put your heavy guys at the front so that nothing gets in?
Because if you don't play aggressive enough, you know, the other guy that is barreling in there with his marshals and generals is going to eat up half your board, and then you're going to just have a simple numerical
Because I wonder how well a strategy of, like, a front line of bombs and then, like, all your 10s, 9s, and 8s.
Right behind
them. And then your flag behind those.
I thought
how
about
well that would work.
I thought about on the if we were going to play that night, and I was going to do a front line of bombs, and then like my two most powerful pieces in the center, and then I was going to do a randomized, like you said. I didn't know you did this, but it's kind of like a random order of all the rest.
Yeah,
like you know, equal numbers and stuff. And I thought that would be pretty good flexibility. The only thing I don't like about a bomb front line is it really hampers your movement.
Absolutely, yeah.
You're basically saying I'm playing defense.
Yeah. I put a couple bombs in the front in that second game, and I didn't ever move them, and I assumed, okay, that gives away that they're bombs. The other cool thing you can do is with your scouts, only move them one space at a time.
So they don't, yeah.
So they have no idea they're scouts.
Right. And I faked you out a couple times, but I actually retreated with my marshal, and you're hunting down with your, I had like my spy and something else that you could have easily vanquished. And I had my marshal, and I actually retreated away with a marshal. You chased him.
Oh.
And then I attacked him back and killed like your nine with my marshal.
Yeah. So there's a lot of strategy in that game.
Yeah. And I got online. There's so many variations you can play. First of all,
like the Monopoly type variations where it's Star Wars Monopoly or Mario Brothers.
Like
Monopoly.
You can change the rules, like, you know, where instead of equal, like when a 10 and a 10 face each other, you can make it to where the aggressor wins. There's a lot of other like just simple variations about that with like you also can change the number like you draft. So all the points are up there, but you can like they say you put like a 200 point army. And each piece is worth, like, its number value. So if you take your marshal, that's 10 points away from your total pool. You know, that's that's worth 10 scouts.
Yeah.
So you draft as big army, and it's kind of asymmetric. So a guy can have a big army of, like, smaller pieces or a very smaller army of much more powerful pieces.
Interesting.
Lots of different things. And we are playing bombs wrong. Uh-oh. Bombs do not come off the battlefield unless a miner disarms them.
What?
That makes him way more powerful.
So how would you get past a defense of...
You don't. If you don't have miners...
Tens and nines and bombs all around your flags.
Yeah. If you that's why you have to preserve... Miners are very important to preserve.
Whoa.
That adds another layer of strategy.
Okay, I didn't know that.
So now if a guy comes and he knows he's killed all your miners and he's got a ring of bombs around his flag, that other guy is just SOL.
There's also... Strip Stratego that we haven't played yet. I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah. We usually get around to that by accident. So we've had a little bit too much to drink.
sure. There's also T.I. Joe, which is the G.I. Joe variant. no. I don't know what I'm talking about now.
Yeah. Me either.
But yeah. Fun game.
We also got, last week, got Battles of Westeros, which needs a surprising amount of assembly required.
Yeah, it's kind of like putting together a miniatures game, like Warhammer or something. You almost have to paint your units. I know you're talking about doing that.
Yeah, now that I've seen them, I don't know that...
There's a lot of them.
Yes.
They're
prime, yeah.
That would take a long time.
I don't have that time.
I tried to paint a miniature for Warhammer once.
I saw that.
It took me like 6 hours, and it was terrible.
A lot of pink.
Yeah, lots of pink and purple.
I don't know if that's canonical for a space marine.
Sure it is. But yeah, that'll be an interesting game. We actually played that at a PAX a year ago. Or Gen Con, yeah.
With the designer of the game.
Yep.
So the other thing I've been doing is I beat all the Uncharteds, except for Uncharted 3, which I feverishly beat all the Uncharteds mm-hmm. with, like, 2 weeks before 3 came out. And I bought it, like, the week it came out and then haven't played it because I'm an idiot that way.
Well, yeah, time crunch stuff.
But I did plow through Batman Arkham City.
Cool. Cool. How's that?
Well, I had a very interesting experience with it in that for the first 6 to 8 hours I played it, I hated it. It annoyed the shit out of me.
Okay.
And then by the time I was 75% of the way through the campaign, I started liking it. And then when I beat the campaign, I'm actually having much more fun now completing, because when I beat the campaign, I was 53% of the way done with the game, is what the game told me.
Is that good or bad? I don't know how that stacks
up. It just basically means you've got as much gameplay, and that's not even counting the Catwoman side missions, which is another, I guess, 6 hours of gameplay. And it's not counting, like, the Joker missions that were, like, a GameSpot exclusive that I'm sure will be in the game of the year or be able to be DLC'd for, like, $4 later on. That's another, like, 4 hours. But it took me about 10 to 12 hours to get through the main campaign. There's another about that much of gameplay in the expanded, like, there's a whole Riddler campaign.
There's
a whole serial killer campaign with Zaz. There's, like, all these different things, mysteries that you have to figure out. There's tons of Easter eggs in the game. Plus, now, when you beat the game, you can play the Plus game, which is, so it's basically the game on hard, but a little bit harder. But you also have all your gadgets and experience from the get-go.
Okay.
So you don't have to fuck around with earning the grapnel boost upgrade. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
I did not know, because everyone's talking about this, like, easy way to get through the city.
Yeah.
Which I thought was one thing, the zip line. And when I got it, I'm like, well, I guess it makes it a little bit easier, but still very cumbersome to go across this whole city.
Yeah.
Because unlike Arkham Asylum, where you were just in one little area, you're in basically something the size of Manhattan. But there's this one particular upgrade I could have gotten, like, within 5 minutes of playing that makes traveling around a city just a breeze.
God, that's a shame.
Yeah, it's called the grapnel line boost. Uh-huh. And basically, if you grapple to the top of a building and you hit the boost button twice, it, like, makes you go crazy fast and, like, slingshots you over the building that you're on and sends you in a parabolic arc, which you can then just fly.
That sounds useful.
And you can chain that to where you basically never even touch the ground and cover ground very rapidly. But it's great. The combat system, like, that's the one thing. I got pissed with the game because you have to go inside buildings, these particular buildings, and it's so easy to get lost.
Yeah, it looked. I was watching you play, and it looked like some of those rooms were difficult to get out of.
And not only that, because there's a lot of ways that look like you can go there, and you kind of try, and you keep dying. You don't actually die, but Batman keeps, like, getting dunked in water, and he gets out. And, but you need a special utility. You need a special tool that you don't have yet. But you keep trying, like, what the fuck? How do I? You know, and there's a lot of red herrings where it's like there's things you can almost do. Like, you can hit this thing with this electrical boost, and it, like, swings open a door, and it's like, oh, well, that's where I need to go. But no, you also need ice grenades so you can freeze water to get there.
Yeah, and that's what I've heard about this game, is it's very, very dense. Like, there's a lot of stuff packed on top of each other.
Like, some of the buildings you have to go in 4 or 5 times hours apart from each other and get a little bit further into it, because now you've got a different gadget.
Yeah.
And that was frustrating to me, and also I thought, basically, the combat is so much fun that I didn't like some of the puzzles that they shoot. Like, there's some, like, when you're tracking down this one guy called Deadshot, it's all about doing this forensic investigation. It's actually fun when you're doing it, but when they just, like, throw one of those puzzles that kind of get your feet wet into it, it's, like, dumb. It's like, why do I have to track this bullet, you know?
Okay.
And I have to there's also...
Well, that's the detective part of Batman, right? Because that's a big part of Batman, is the detective angle. Like, he's smarter. He's got a lot of equipment that does all this detective work for him.
And there's some things that actually do feel like you're figuring stuff out.
Uh-huh.
But there's other things where it's just dumb. It's
think the trajectory of the bullets would seem like
It's just like, go into night vision, hit the X, and the bat computer tells you the solution.
Yeah, the problem... I have kind of a little problem with the bat vision. Like, or whatever it's called. You know, detective mode or whatever it is. It seems like that solves all the puzzles in the game. Like, yes. You just go into detective mode, and up, there's a glowing
Everything
neon thing that I need to hit.
Orange is bad. Yeah,
yeah, needs what to be the fuck?
I don't
that,
know.
That just removes all of the element of exploration, and I don't know. I
Although
just,
it does keep you from trying to interact with stuff you can't interact with.
Sure,
and
sure.
The, as you say, the environments are very dense, so mm-hmm. it's really easy to overlook like a button
yeah.
that's on the wall. And it's also a great way to tell like whether a guy's got a gun on him or not. And, mm-hmm. And I also found that there's a couple things I didn't know. Like if you, during the predator, because there's two main forms of combat. There's like the brawling, where your Batman's just kicking people's asses. And there's also like the predator mode where there's all kinds of like shadowy outcrops and you're like zooming in over people's heads and you're snatching them.
Yeah.
Like you think of in the first Christopher Nolan when he's in a warehouse and mm-hmm. like he's just like scaring the shit out of these guys and they start randomly firing. Well, if you get the thugs terrified enough and you can see their heartbeat increase, and there's the last one left usually will surrender and you can interrogate them for some sort of bonus.
Cool.
So I didn't know this the first playthrough, but so now it's like I think I've only got like one campaign. I'm probably going to beat it on plus mode, and then I'll be done.
I thought you said you wanted to 100% this game.
I
change your mind.
There's 500 no. Riddler trophies, man.
I know there's a lot of them.
500, and I don't think I've got the wherewithal and patience because some of them are fiendishly hard to get.
Plus, you've got Uncharted 3 lined up. You got to get to that.
Like, do I want to spend 30 minutes trying to figure out what precise thing I need to do to get at this Riddler statue? Mm-hmm. Or do I want to go, you know, shoot up guys with Nathaniel Drake?
Yeah.
Probably the latter.
Climb around
Especially
the walls.
When something I'm excited about with Uncharted 3 is the multiplayer. Like, they've got
really?
True... Yeah, they got true co-op deathmatch. Like, that's something you and I could, like,
co-op
split
would be
screen.
Cool. Yeah.
So it's like my kind of... I'm what's going to be my triumphant return into competitive gaming.
Against me. Awesome.
No, co-op deathmatch.
Oh, okay.
No, I know. I've talked about this. You'll whip my ass.
Nah, I don't know what you're talking
Especially
about.
Especially now that you've got so much more free time than me. It's like, we'll start the game. You'll be a little bit better than me because your reflexes are better. And then, like, I'll go to work and I'll come home and you're like, you've, like, ascended. You're like Wesley Crusher when he, like, held hands with the Traveler. You're a being made of pure energy, and I just can't understand your evolved way of thinking now.
Yes, my skills are so advanced. All right. Is that all you've been doing? Have you been watching any cool TV? Because, you know, we podcast a little bit about TV.
Not really.
No? Well, shit on you. I've been watching Weeds. Weeds is really good. I watched the first 5 seasons of that.
Skip
seasons 3 and 4. It's bullshit.
Is it really?
You can't skip them, obviously, because you missed the story, but... Seasons 3 and 4, terrible. Seasons 1, 2, and 5 are awesome. I haven't gotten to 6 and 7 yet.
That's interesting. There's a lot of... that's actually something that Seppenwall and someone else was arguing about today. Mm. About there's a lot of shows that should be miniseries and actually are series,
yeah.
and they lose their way. Like they one example was the Shield. They say season 1 and 2 are really good. Like 3, 4 was horrible.
7,
and then
phenomenal.
When they finally got to wrapping it up, it's like, okay, where is the end in sight? It's like, why did you do season 2 and 3 and 4? Mm-hmm. Why didn't you just tell a story? You had this much story, so fucking tell it.
And that is why I love British television.
Because they're all about
miniseries. Because they do like 2 seasons and it's done.
Right.
And they might do like a Christmas special or something. But like a prime example of this is... like Extras and The Office.
Yeah.
Both Ricky Gervais shows. Phenomenal because they're so concise and they pack so much into each episode. And they're not ever doing filler like you see in Weeds and Lost and every other show on American television. It's like if we don't get this... I don't understand the concept of syndication, I guess, because what do you need, like 100 episodes? Why do you need 100 episodes?
I don't know if that's true.
But you need at least like 5 years plus. Yeah. But why do you need that to show the episodes? I don't get it.
Because syndication shows at least once a day, Monday through Friday. And if you only have 2 seasons, you'd basically repeat every 3 weeks. So like,
yeah,
if you got a
awesome.
Nice 10-season show like Friends, which is all very episodic and nobody that you don't have to watch everyone. You know, people can watch that for years and years and years in syndication and never get sick of it. But if you had to watch, like, say, like, there's only 1 season of Game of Thrones and that was syndicated.
Yeah.
2 weeks in, you're like, okay, I'm watching. It's like an endless marathon. There's only so much to eat.
But it just seems like you can pack better content into a smaller period of time.
But like syndication is basically like an Asian buffet.
Explain that.
Does that taste good? Well, here's some more. You just eat until you get sick of it, and then you go
but
away.
But then it only tastes mediocre, right? It's not great.
Yeah,
it's
that's why I said it's an Asian buffet. Yeah. I love Asian buffets, but if I had to eat one every,
you like them because of quantity, not necessarily quality.
It's decent, but but I basically eat and I get full, and then I get sick of it, and I don't want to eat there again until the next time.
Okay,
it's like Simpsons.
I can buy that.
Like every once in a while, it's like I get in the habit of coming home. Simpsons are on. Mm-hmm. I sit down and eat dinner and start watching it, and I get a pattern going. But then I'll get a stretch of stuff that I've seen and not that popular, and then I'll drift away.
Yeah, you get to season 20 and it's bullshit.
But syndication allows the local networks to pencil in people for 100,000 people are going to watch this every day, and they're going to be this particular demographic. It's the lazy way of marketing that stuff. So that's why. I mean, I don't know if you had a larger point.
No. I was just wondering about that. So I've also been playing a few games. I played Skyrim a shitload.
A little bit.
Yeah, just
a couple hours. Just you don't want to kick the tires.
Between 3 and 140 hours, somewhere in there. I talked about that on the Personal Arrogance podcast, so I won't go too much into that.
That's something else you did. You cheated on me, you bastard.
Yeah, I went over
you committed
the
podcast fornication. Padultry.
Well, it's still kind of on our site, pa.baldmove.com.
Yeah, our affiliate link.
But anyway, I played a bunch of that.
Every time we give that link out, a little part of Eric dies.
Yeah. Eventually, we'll get the whole thing.
All the horcruxes.
So I've actually got a podcast coming out on that. Me and Jesse from Personal Arrogance are going to be doing Skyrim Companions, which is...
Is it coming out? I doubt it.
It is. New Year. Not New Year Day, but...
It's like a unicorn.
In the new year, in January.
I'm not going to believe it until I see it.
You'll see it. I've got it recorded and edited. It's just waiting for an introduction.
Tell me, because the idea, as soon as you told me, I laughed out loud. I think it's a brilliant idea.
So the idea is we're going to talk while you play Skyrim. Uh-huh. It's a Skyrim commentary podcast. So we play while we record the podcast. We're playing through the entire main story campaign. And what we're going to do is we're going to name the episodes with the mission names. So when you start this mission, play this episode. And now you may take a long time. I don't know. We kind of breeze through it because we don't want to be talking for another hour after you're done with your mission. Mm-hmm. So basically we're going to do that. We're going to be reading some of the books from Skyrim because nobody ever reads those. We're going to do dramatic readings of those. Nobody ever reads them, but it's lore that you need to kind of know.
I hear some of this shit is creepy, too.
Yeah, there's some weird stuff in there. Some creepy stuff, some funny stuff, whatever. Mm-hmm. But that's the basic idea, is you listen to this podcast while you play Skyrim, and we'll take you through the main story quest.
Sweet.
So I've been recording that. I've also been playing around with OnLive, which is this pretty cool service.
It blows my mind, you describing it to me.
Yeah, what it is a service that allows you to play a game without downloading it. And what happens is you just start up the game, and it's running remotely on their servers, and they're taking your input from your controller or your keyboard or whatever, processing it on their end, and then sending you back the video of what you've been doing. So I tested it out. There's a little bit of lag. I'd say... it's got to be on the order of 100 milliseconds, at least on my connection.
Is it detectable?
Yes. I did notice that there was lag, but it's very minimal. I was surprised at how little lag there was.
Really?
For the process that they described,
your handling?
Yeah. It does, yeah. I played through a little bit of Saints Row, the first half an hour, because I got a demo of that. And that's the other cool thing. They allow you to basically demo any game on their service for 30 minutes. So you can get a feel of the game. And it's literally, it just loads up like you're playing a video on YouTube or something. It's not like you've got to install anything. You just install the client and click on the game, and you're in the game playing.
Right.
Very, very cool. And I wish that this, I hope that Valve actually buys them out and incorporates this into Steam. Because I have a shitload of games on Steam.
Uh-huh.
And I want to play them on the fly without installing them. And I don't want my game split between two services, the online service or on live service and Steam, because I like to have all my games in one spot. Call right. me crazy.
No. Do you think they ever will, though? Because they're not even remotely the same beast.
They're not, but I feel like if Steam allowed you to do what On Live does, then it would be a powerhouse. I mean, why would you play anywhere else?
But what I'm saying, do you understand what I'm saying? Like, structurally, they're not the same. That'd be like
the infrastructure is
like
not
Gabe
there, yeah.
Newell would have to be like, you know what? Fuck what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We need to, like, because they have to, if this thing got as popular as Steam. Mm-hmm. My God, the computational processing.
Oh, yeah. It's like we're talking about more than Amazon does, right? We're talking about serious computational power.
I mean, they would have to completely develop. I mean, I guess you'd say Steam got caught with their pants down. Maybe what if Steam buys these guys?
That's what I'm hoping happens.
So that's what you're like an acquisition?
Yeah, and then all of my purchases on Steam will allow me to play them on Live or vice versa, whatever. Because I don't want them split.
What'd you say their fees were, like the rental fees?
You can rent. They're kind of high. It's like you can do a 3-day, a 5-day, or you can just flat out buy the game. 3 days, like $6, $7.
Well, that's not bad. I mean, it's a that's
a little high.
You think so? It's,
yeah.
It's basically the same as like going to, what do you call those, red boxes?
Is it the same?
Yeah. I mean, I thought,
is that what they charge?
I thought video games on red boxes were like $2 a day.
Maybe. I don't know. I've never rented one from there.
And then you have to go out and drive there and take it back.
That seems high to me.
Really?
I'd pay like $4, maybe $5.
Okay. So what but is
six,
it,
seven
is buying it outright cheaper? Surely not.
No, it's retail.
Really?
It's like $60, whatever. Mm. But then you can play it anytime you want.
You know? But man, I don't buy anything full retail unless I got the physical media.
Steam is my exception.
I don't occasionally buy. I've never bought anything full. Well, no, that's not true. I'll buy Valve products because that's the only way you can get them.
Yeah. You can buy Portal 2, whatever.
So,
I don't know. So I really hope that either Steam incorporates this feature or buys them or something, because that would be incredible. And I think On Live is about to eat Steam's lunch. I think this is the future of gaming, because I was playing this on my like 1.4 gigahertz laptop.
Right.
What the fuck? I can't play Saints Row the Third on my laptop without this service.
On the other hand, there's no way they can eliminate this particular lag or really hide it.
That's right.
Because everything's server side. So and you realize we've got a fiber optic connection that has a sub 100 millisecond ping to everywhere.
Yeah.
Like if their servers are in Chicago, we might have a 19 millisecond ping.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So I don't know, like, if you had DSL, I don't think you might have, like, a quarter second to half second lag time.
Maybe. I mean, the other issue is you're also streaming a shitload of data.
Well, yeah, that's
because
a good
it's high-definition video.
So is it limited to, like, what was the resolution? 1024, basically, or 1080i, 1080p?
I think it might have been 1080p, but even if you go there, I mean, what is 1080p on a movie? 2 hours is, like...
Oh, like 2 terabytes?
No, get out of here.
A Blu-ray rip is like 2 terabytes, isn't it?
No, that's impossible, because it only stores 50 gigs.
I'm sorry, 2 gigabytes.
Okay, yeah, isn't that it? Makes more sense. It's like 2 to 4 gigabytes, somewhere in there.
I need a giga, tera, whatever. It's a nanometer.
So if you're playing a game for 8 hours, then you're looking at 10 plus gigs of data, 15 gigs of data.
Right.
And a lot of... like ISPs will have caps on your data, like especially Comcast, 250 gigs.
It's one thing to stream a 2 gigabyte movie; you're going to watch it once.
Yeah, exactly.
If you play like you fucking
like Team Fortress 2 would be,
or what you
ridiculous.
Did with Skyrim,
or Skyrim, 140 hours of HD video.
Yeah,
would be insane amounts of bandwidth.
That's all the time too. It's not like it's like you play it for 10 hours a day.
No, they'd cut me off in a second. They'd be like, "Nope, too much bandwidth." So that's a problem too. But I really feel like this service, if they can somehow iron out the bugs. I don't know how they get rid of the lag thing, but man, it's a cool feature.
Well, I mean, latency, the thing is like if we all went all fiber optic, I mean, latency might be a thing of the past.
Maybe. It still takes time to travel from California to here, you know.
Yeah, but you could address that with regional data centers.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, never have, you know, never have to have a physical path of longer than 500 miles or 1,000 miles and have it all fiber through the home.
That'd be sweet, man.
It would be sweet.
I'm really considering starting to buy stuff on Live, but I've got so many games in Steam. I've got like 200 games.
And the holiday sales here again.
Yes, I want to talk about that.
I bought like 20 games last year.
Yeah.
Ask me how many I played.
Zero.
No, I actually played two.
Oh, shit.
But that's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And I didn't spend big money. I spent like 40, 50 bucks.
Yep.
And I got a shitload of like 20 games. But like, I'm starting to question whether I should even get into this year's deal because God, the return on investment, I've already got too many games I can play in a whole year's worth of time. So like, unless I get like disabled, like my legs get crushed or
fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Pray for it. I get a lot of gaming
unless
time.
Unless I get like a C6 spinal fracture, I'm not going to, you know, basically everything below the nipples.
Yeah.
I can lose anything below the nipples and still game.
Okay. Sure. What happens if you put your hands down below your nipples? They go numb?
Yeah, that's exactly what happens. Or like, if it's a certain level, I think you can't use your hands, but you can still feel your armpit hair. That would be the worst.
What?
Because your armpits would itch, but you can't scratch them. You
veto.
Have someone else
veto this conversation. Okay. I don't know where this is going.
All right. That was Christopher Reeve's problem. He had that.
Oh, was
he had,
it?
He could, he, the he armpit could feel hair. His armpits, but he couldn't breathe.
Wow. All right. Sure. So, yeah, Steam Holiday Sale. Go check that out. There's a lot of good games for very low prices.
Did you see, like, someone was posting today that, like, you could get Rage for 33% off. So this is the one that I might actually buy. So it's $40.
Oh, yeah.
Or you get the entire id collection that include Rage was 87% off for $27.
What?
Yeah, you get weird shit like that on Steam sales all the time.
I gotta go check that out.
I'm actually thinking, like, $27 and I get Rage.
For all of id.
And everything, including the Commander Keens.
Wow.
Like, literally their
old
entire
school
library.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's a really good deal, because most of those are, like, $80.
I might be tempted to, like, blow through the first episode of Doom, too, just for old time's sake.
My problem with those kind of sales, those big packages, is, like, I've got half of those games already. You know, the value decreases the more of the games you already
like
own.
Like, I bought outright Wolfenstein, Doom, Doom 2.
I bought the Doom
pack. I don't have them anymore. I don't have no idea where the fuck they are. I bought Quake. I took a break. I didn't have
I mean, I own them in Steam already.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But still, $27 for Rage.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It might be worth it. And then you can give away the other copies to, like, I don't know.
Yeah, use the gift code.
Podcast listeners or whatever.
Sure.
Bribe listeners.
Yeah, call in.
Like the good old days.
555-1212.
302-320.
So that's what I've been doing. Playing a lot of games, watching a lot of TV. Getting ready to podcast more about television.
Oh, God, I'm worried. Because we got...
There's a lot of stuff coming up.
So, on our slate, we've basically got... we're definitely doing, and have either recorded or starting to record, Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, Breaking Bad.
Mad Men.
We know for sure we're going to do Mad Men. But we've got, like, Justified we want to do to starts up next month.
Yep.
We got Homeland that's, like, people are raving about. Boardwalk Empire, which I've seen enough of that I know I want in on that shit.
Yeah, that looks very much to me like the slow burn of Mad Men or The Wire, I guess.
Right.
Where
and I still want to do, like, my awesome ultra Mad
Wire.
The Wire podcast. I mean, this is a problem.
We have a serious TV overload.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're going to do about that.
Become hermits.
I guess. I don't know.
What else we got to talk about? So I was listening to Personal Arrogance, and particularly your guest spot, and you talked about patching game systems.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In particular, how they shipped
Skyrim broken
for PS3 to where in certain areas, which is the most popular areas, the game basically had an effective frame rate of a frame per second.
Yes, sir.
And that they would never do that in the old days because...
Because they couldn't fix it.
The reviews would be like, this is bullshit, don't buy it, nobody would buy it, and they wouldn't have time to patch it. And so that was a decent enough point, but I want to talk about something that I think is even worse. which is you don't get to choose whether you want to patch it, if you're going to patch it now or whatnot. And a couple other bullshit things I wanted, because, and this all came to light over Thanksgiving. I went up to my girlfriend. She has a lake house up in northern Indiana. So I decided to take my Batman save games because I was going to beat it up there. It was kind of already weird enough that I transferred the save game to this USB drive, and then I took it up there, transferred it back over, started to play the game. Turns out their PS3 hasn't been updated in like 3 months.
Oh, God.
I had an hour. Two different patches that required two different reboots, and it was an hour to install.
And the great PSN system doesn't allow you to update in the background.
Right.
Those fuckers.
Which, that's a whole other level of fuckedness.
Yeah.
So, I'm basically sitting there a prisoner. I can't watch a Blu-ray. Mm-mm. I can't play another game.
It's
I can't
useless
download
for
anything.
An hour.
It's a brick.
Yep.
There's no option to like, okay, the game was playable when it came out.
Yeah.
Because people played it. So, like, these are minor enhancements, some tweaks and stuff like that. And I understand, like, give me an option to play it and disable trophy mode. Or if it's a multiplayer capable, disable me from playing online if you're worried about me exploiting. But just to lock me out, that seems like bullshit, especially when it's just downloading.
Yeah.
No, I can buy shit in their store and download gigabytes worth of games in the background, but I can't download a patch
what
in
the
background.
Fuck? It's seriously fucked up.
Is that PS3 only or is that also Xbox?
No, that is PS3 exclusive.
Really?
That's
so
a
Xbox,
feature, not
can,
a bug.
But Xbox won't allow you to like defer patching a game, will it?
I don't know about deferring the patch, but it will definitely let you download in the background. So you can use the Xbox while you're downloading.
So I was playing Batman. I finally beat it. My girlfriend's done studying for finals. We're going to play Little Big Planet 2.
Oh, fuck you.
There was one 507 meg patch, and they have a shitty internet connection up there.
Oh,
it was going to take 6 hours to play.
So you're not playing that game.
I don't have any save games. I just want to get in there and start playing the first mission and all that kind of stuff. What the hell? Like, I think that is a broken system. If you can't... I got a single player game. I want to get on and play it, and I'm stymied because of a system update or a game update or basically anything.
Yeah, I have a lot of problems. I talked about this on the Personal Arrogance podcast with the way updates are implemented. I mean, it's absolutely insane to me, coming from a PC background, that I can't download anything in the background.
And here's the other thing. Because I was prepared to rage because while I was waiting, I was like, well, I want to make sure I know how to copy the save games over because I was having a problem with that. Turned out one of my save games was corrupted, but I had another backup, so it's all good. But I was like, at first I thought, okay, what's going on? So I researched the error. There's people talking about like not being able to – like you can back up a save game, and like if your PS3 gets wiped or whatever, you can restore it. Or if you fuck up your save game, you can restore it. But if you just want to, like, I got my Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 save, and I want to go over play at my friend's house and play with all my weapons and my account, I'm going to go on his system, I'll log him out, log into my PlayStation Network ID, copy the save game over. Oh, it's locked to my hardware, encrypted to my hardware. What the fuck?
Oh, yeah, this is nothing new, man.
I can understand. No, I can't understand. All right. I'm going to hit myself in the head so I can get in the framework. So I'm a retarded executive, and I'm like, I don't want people to be able to easily access information that they fucking paid for.
Yeah.
If you're my friend and you play fucking Modern Warfare 3 for 60 hours a week and you unlock all the awesome weapons and I'm some office drone that only gets to play it for 3 hours in a weekend and I want to play with you. Mm-hmm. So you're like, here, friend, here's my save game. You take all my shit. Why does any fucking company care? It's free. They don't make any fucking money from it. Why in the hell would they not let me do that? But if you were so fucking retarded that you wanted to do that as your business model, lock it to their PlayStation ID.
Here's the thing. They don't understand what makes them money. I swear they don't understand because it is not milking your customers that makes you money. It's satisfying your customers. Make your customers happy with the product you've given them, and they will want more of it. Dissatisfy them, annoy them with bullshit, and they will not want any more of it.
But what I'm saying is, I don't care.
Convenience. Have they not learned anything from Netflix?
But
convenience is king.
If they want to require someone to have a unique experience and to beat all that shit, why not lock it to the PlayStation Network account? Because you cannot have sure. two accounts logged in at the same time.
I get you. Yeah.
Because I know that for a fact, because when I was playing up there, you turned on the fucking PlayStation to play Skyrim, and it kicked me off.
Oh, did it?
So then I'm like, nice. Well, fuck you, I kicked you off. But I was like, so there's a solution. What possible reason could they have to lock a save game to a physical machine? To the hard drive.
Okay, I'll present another question for you to answer, another conundrum. Why region code anything? What the fuck sense does that make?
It doesn't make sense, except for they have different pricing in different regions. So if I'm an Australian, why the fuck would I pay $90 for Skyrim when I can just get the North American version for $60 and have it imported?
What in a digital world, in a world where I can download anything from across the globe in seconds,
but you
why
can't, you're
region
talking,
code anything?
Dude, you're talking Blu-ray. You're talking physical media, though, partner.
No, I'm talking.
They
you
don't
can
region,
download
they
everything
don't region
now.
Region encodes. You can, but not legally.
Oh, dude, they don't allow you access to the PlayStation Store from Japan versus like to the American store versus the vice versa. They don't allow it
because unlike Steam, they actually have they have predatory pricing based on what region you're in, and they want to protect that. So basically,
Steam does it too.
If you're in Asia or like the shittier parts of Asia or Latin America where piracy's rampant, like this is I'm making shit up actually, but I've heard like Windows licenses cost effectively $5. We pay for the same product $200 over here in America because us as Americans will buy it.
Yeah,
because
we have more money conceivably.
The same way, like I got a gray market Peyton Manning T-shirt. Or so I got a replica jersey that would have cost me $215 if I went up to the NFL Pro Shop. Mm-hmm. I bought a gray market jersey. It's the same fucking thing, but it's sold in like Malaysia. I bought off eBay for $45.
Sure.
So that's why they're doing this region locking. They're trying to preserve this physical media. They're trying to have their cake and eat it too. They're trying to treat digital shit like it's physical media.
So what you're saying is they want to acquire as many customers as possible, and that means different price points and therefore region coding. Because literally, if you're in Ethiopia, you cannot afford a $50 game.
You'd never buy it.
You're buying a $2 game.
Right.
But they don't want us buying $2 games because we can afford $50
exactly.
games.
Exactly.
Crazy.
They are milking us for as much as they want, but what... So I understand that. I think it's bullshit, and this whole system is going to come down as a result of it.
Sure,
but to take it back to my, I can't underfathom. So if I am a guy on a PlayStation and I've got 10 different games that are all locked in my system, and my hard drive dies or my PlayStation 3 dies.
Oh,
but I've been a smart guy and I've backed up all my PlayStation. Do you know what kind of rage I would feel if I got my paid $250 for a brand new PS3, load all my save games up, and found out none of them worked?
Yeah. The same rage you'd feel when you found out that every song you bought on iTunes doesn't work because you reinstalled your OS.
But there's a way to unfuck that.
You call them up and say, can I please have my music?
And then
they say, maybe.
Yeah, you've only asked once in like 5 years. You're probably legit. There's nothing you can do in this PlayStation 3. I looked at forums. There's no tool. There's no hotline. There's nothing but go fuck yourself.
It's fucked. We are in the stage of digital media where we are just getting screwed left and right because people are trying to figure out, A, what we want, and B, what they want. Like, they want more money. We want convenience. And there's this intersection that's going to happen, but it's going to happen in the future, where we all come to an understanding of this is how much we're going to have to pay for this amount of convenience.
Well, it's like my famous story about this is like I'm a QuickBooks user because I've owned my own business for a long time.
Oh, God, QuickBooks.
And like I was using – and QuickBooks costs like $300.
Sure.
So I bought this one version, and I was using it for several years. And one day, I was starting using it. It says, this is no longer valid. Contact QuickBooks support. So I called them up, and they're like, oh, that's a three-year-old version. You need all these different tax updates. I'm like, whoa. I have no employees. Mm-hmm. It's just me. I don't even use this to prepare my fucking taxes. I use this to put in my invoices and my out, and I export it, and I do my taxes by hand. Mm-hmm. Like, sir, we can't help you. As he's telling me he can't help me, I'm on one of the crack sites.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh, well, you know what? I just found a crack that's going to let me continue using the software. Uh-huh. And guess what? I now have the deluxe version.
Yeah, and that's the big
problem.
So
thanks for locking my shit out. Now I've got the better version.
Yeah, because, I just upgraded for free. Thanks.
Yeah, and you know what? When I go, while I'm here, I might as well get QuickBooks for 2010.
Might as well.
So go fuck yourself, Intuit.
And that's kind of the war that's going
they
on.
They turned
right
a paying customer into a thief.
Yes. Yes, because they don't want to allow the convenience that we require to use their product.
You see some of these things like one of the Splinter Cells, like Mass Effect, had like basically a rootkit that they installed on your computer to play it, or it's like tracked. It's like so you could pay $60 and get treated like a criminal, or you could pay nothing and get
and
to
have
download
it free.
And crack. Yeah, it's like so.
Yeah,
what? Ugh. I'm disgusted with it.
Yeah, everyone is disgusted with it. Somehow people are still paying for it.
Because it's making money. I mean, video games make more money than fucking Hollywood.
No, that's what I mean. People are still buying this
yes.
shit.
Yeah.
Why do people buy the bullshit DLCs and, like, just so many things that are wrong right now. I think we're in the phase where we're figuring it out.
Yeah, and I think...
And 20 years from now, this is all going to be settled.
And like, the... parts that are really bad and most people don't know about, like probably less than 1% of the people that played Mass Effect were aware of. I'm using Mass Effect as I don't even know if that's a real example.
Okay.
But less than 1% of the people that use these that down, you know, that basically are malware were aware of the issues involved. And there's less than like, you know, we talked about this on other Blue Yonders where like GameStop is now selling $10 online licenses. So you buy Madden and you go trade it in, and you go buy a used copy of Madden. You get the game, but you can't play online unless you buy another $10.
Yeah, you get it $5 cheaper, but then you have to pay $10 for the code.
Exactly. Until people figure that out, and there's a groundswell of like, this is bullshit. We're not buying these games.
That's the problem. There will never be a groundswell.
Oh no, they'll overreach.
Nah,
that's what companies do, man. That's why we have unions.
Okay, you're right. You're right.
That's why we have unions, because fucking companies couldn't keep 5 year olds from working cotton gins and complex machinery and killing people. So people had to rise up against it.
Well, people they've already overreached with me. Like EA is. Online bullshit.
They're dead to you, right?
Dead.
I won't do
I'm
it either.
Never going to sign up for that. I'm never going to buy a product through there.
I've bought Madden every fucking year, and I just this year I'm like, nope, not doing it.
No, I'm talking about their online system.
I'm talking about the EA is Madden.
Okay.
I'm saying like when I heard about this online, I'm like, nope, fuck it. I don't care that much. I'll play Madden 2011. Fuck you very much.
And I'm in the boat of vote with your dollar.
Yeah,
you know,
you have
because
to.
That is, they are never going to listen to, we don't like this, but here's my money anyway.
Anyway, right.
They're never going to give a shit about that because you're still giving them money.
It's just like if you got a friend that shows up 2 hours late every single time you want to party with them, they're never going to stop doing that unless you finally say, you know what, fuck you, we don't really need you that bad.
Yeah.
And even then they probably won't, but at least they won't be annoying your dumb ass.
Sure.
It's like in a country where corporations are people.
Oh, don't get me started on that.
The only vote that matters is money.
Yes.
So don't sit there and bitch and whine on fanboyforum.com and then give them your $60.
Yeah, what the fuck are you doing?
No matter how bad you want to play it.
Because that nullifies everything you just said. If you say, fuck this company, I hate this policy, here's my money, that does nothing. You've got to stop buying bullshit.
Ugh.
All right,
we got ranty. How long are we running? Because we have
we're running about 50 something minutes.
You want to go to? Because like 4 months ago, we asked for hey, we're going to put this show on hiatus. Give us your final feedback. And I even said that I'd donate
$50 per feedback.
No,
right?
No. Okay. I think it was five.
It was
maybe
five.
It was 10.
No, it was five.
For every piece of feedback we got a lot of it. We actually, believe it or not, recorded a final cast. But we thought it would be awesome to get like completely shit faced to do it.
That didn't
work. And we listened to it and it was unlistenable. And we wanted to come back and fix it, but then Breaking Bad started and then Walking Dead started and we never got a chance. So with a 4 month lag time, episode 77, we're going to finally read your final feedback.
Say what you were going to donate to, though. You just said you were going to donate.
To
EA.
To Child's Play.
Yeah.
So this is a charity started by the Penny Arcade guys, and it's been running for about 7 years, And it's a direct result from Jack Thompson, who, if you're aware of video games, you know who he is. If not, you basically...
He's an ex-lawyer.
He's a lawyer that...
No, ex-lawyer. He's ex because
he got disbarred by the state of Florida.
Thank God.
Which is hard to have to actually get done as an attorney.
Yeah.
But his position was video games cause people to kill people.
Yeah.
And video gamers were scum, and people that made video gamers basically are making weapons of mass destruction. So the Penny Arcade guys, he actually said, well, I'll give someone $10,000 for someone to make a particular video game that does this one particular thing that he thought that no video game makers would ever make. Within 24 hours of issuing a challenge, someone had modded a game to do exactly what he said. And he said, well, I was just using that for effect. So the Penny Arcade guys donated to the EFF $10,000, and they put in the memo because Jack Thompson doesn't have the balls to.
Yeah.
So then he got in this big famous war of aggression. So then they decided to, like, you know what? Fuck you. We're going to start up a charity that does nothing but help children. Mm-hmm. And what they do is, so they each year they have a drive where they donate toys and video games to children's hospitals.
Yeah.
So if a kid's taking dialysis, they can play a Game Boy while they're doing it. Or if a kid's undergoing chemo, they can play a board game or have a toy to distract them. And I, as a father who had a 2-year-old that had to spend almost a week in a hospital with a lymph node problem, I'm telling you, these toys make all the difference in the world of these kids' lives. They're sitting around toting around IVs, and they're getting stuck, and they don't understand, and they're in pain, and they're crying.
It's a harrowing experience.
It's a harrowing experience, and the toys and games are what makes the kid the whole thing worth it. So it's something I'm very passionate about, and I said that I would donate five bucks per. I mean, I might do more.
Maybe.
And they always do it around Christmas time, so I still have time to get that donation slipped in. They literally raise millions of dollars. It's childsplay.org.
Yeah.
Childsplaycharity.org. Go there and donate. There's every local children's hospital is listed. You can donate to their slush fund where they just distribute it equally, or you can actually go to your, like, you know, we got Riley's.
The slush
children's
fund
hospital.
Sounds like they're just taking the money and buying islands or something.
One thing is they just distribute it equally amongst. But okay. I live in Indiana, I wanted to go to Riley.
Oh, okay. So
I
you can
actually
do that?
Say I want my money to go to Riley.
You tag it with a certain. Yeah. Oh, nice.
And there's all the Humble Indie Bundles. That's one of the donation options.
Yeah, I actually just bought Humble Indie Bundle 4. That's up right now. And actually, you get a shitload of games with this. I accidentally only paid $6. I thought I was only getting the, like, 4 or 5 games.
No, they've added,
that are
like,
there.
Another 4 or 5.
Yeah, what they did is they also gave me Cave Story and some other thing, which I love Cave Story. It's awesome. Hmm. But then they went back and gave me the Humble Indie Bundle 3 games as well. So I've got, like, 12 games for $6. I'm going to go back and donate some more. Like, I feel like I'm ripping the developers off, you know?
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, go check that out. I think it's, I don't know the URL. Just search for Humble Indie Bundle.
Right.
You'll find it.
So anyway, final feedback. Darth Paxis, he wrote, well, fuck. I'll be sure to send you guys, email to you guys. I do have a question. What about the listener episode? I don't know if you guys mentioned it in an episode that I haven't heard or not, but I'd like to hear it. Tell us about the listener episode, Jim Jones.
So I had this crazy idea, and I think I sprung this on you during an episode.
Yeah.
Didn't tell you anything about it, but I had this idea to basically start a Google Doc. A public Google Doc where people could go and insert topics that they wanted us to talk about. And then we would record a podcast based on those topics. And some people did it. We didn't, I feel, get a full episode's worth of stuff. So we never actually recorded it. But, I mean, that might still be on the table. I don't know. We'll have to, like, post the link in the show notes.
I'll go as far as say is we're not going to ever stop doing Blue Yonder. It's just going to be an extremely irregular release schedule.
Yeah, sporadic releases.
It felt good to rant, though.
That's something we don't really see doing TV podcasts. We have to kind of stick to a specific topic,
right,
of the television show. But I like this more free form.
And we go with good stuff. We don't like watch bullshit, except for the Jersey Shore. I mean, that's our bastard stepchild of a podcast.
Sure, yeah. If you want some reality TV dish. Type stuff.
Insane bullshit is what it is.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy, but I love it.
We got it on our site.
Yeah.
But we don't do stuff that's bad, so we don't usually rant about it. We talk about, like, how insightful it is and all that. We try to keep things, like, more R-rated and not NC-17.
Yeah.
Anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, so Peter, our old co-host, sent us a piece of feedback. But you know what? Fuck that noise. Who gives a shit? I'll count him towards the Child's Play charity. And we'll just move on. Michael VZ said, I discovered Blue Yonder just recently after listening. Oh, man. When Expendables 2 come out, we're definitely all over
that. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Have you heard that they've got...
They lined up Jean-Claude Van Damme. Yep.
Yeah.
And not Steven Seagal, the other guy.
Yeah.
Who is it? Fuck, there was one guy who we really wanted in the last one and didn't make it in.
Fuck.
I don't know. Don't worry about it. Just keep going.
Oh, because, guys, Michael Brewer, if I look at Michael Brewer's homepage, he would have, because he actually talked about
it. Oh, plug Mad Brew.
Mad Brew Labs. He's an occasional co-host. He's actually going to be doing our
Game of Thrones podcast. Yep. So you'll get used to hearing his dulcet tones. I don't know how dulcet they are.
I don't know if they're dulcet, but he definitely has tones.
I don't know that ex-Marines can really be... Or,
be dulcet?
Well, not an ex-Marine. He's still a Marine, right?
There are no such thing as an ex-Marine.
That's what I thought, yeah.
They're like, it's a lifetime appointment, like a Supreme Court
Yeah,
justice.
You're once a Marine, always a Marine.
Chuck Norris!
Yes, Chuck Norris. Legend.
70-year-old Chuck Norris is going to be
He's not 70.
Bullshit.
But no way!
How?
He did an awesome World of Warcraft commercial where he must have dyed his hair, certainly. The man can't have reddish blonde hair at 70 years old.
Yeah, he does, because every single time a gray hair starts to grow, he roundhouse kicks it.
Extradites it. He sends it over to France. That's where they get their gray hair. There's no gray hair in France. Chuck Norris sends it all over.
Wikipedia, Carlos Ray Norris was born March 10, 1940,
Carlos.
Age 71.
Chuck is not short for Carlos.
He fucking made it.
Short for Charles.
He fucking made it short for Carlos.
Okay. All right.
But he's 71 years old.
That is fucking crazy.
Yeah. He's roundhousing death right in the face every day. The Grim Reaper comes for him. He's like, not today, motherfucker.
Not today, bitch.
Shall I get back to the feedback?
Sure, do it.
So Michael VZ said, I discovered Blue Yonder just recently after listening to the Breaking Good cast, and I went back and listened to many of the older episodes. You guys have a great podcast, and I'm sad to hear it's ending. The episode I enjoyed most was the one where you talked about the pranks. I had a lot of laughs from this one and reminded of a prank I heard. And he regales us with this prank story. That was one of my favorites, too.
I'm going to insert a clip right here.
All right. So this involves, once again, Ace Jace and our good – well, my good friend. I don't know how friendly you guys were with him, but I'll call him Jonesy.
Okay.
All right. So these guys both decided to enlist in the army at the same time. And they're going to go to basic training. And Ace Jace, as a joke, into Jonesy's duffel bag.
Oh, no.
He had gotten him as a gag gift years before an authentic Swedish penis pump. Like giant oversized, just like from the movie
Austin Powers
with the Swedish flag on it and everything.
They print Swedish flags on these things?
Yeah, I mean, it's a Swedish penis pump, and it's like a gag gift.
The Swedes are proud of their penis pumps, apparently.
They have national pride in it.
Wow.
So anyway, he puts this into his duffel bag, because you're basically, you get on a bus and you're in a duffel bag, you go to basic training. Well, what Ace Jace doesn't know is what they do to new recruits. Is basically the drill sergeant comes in there, screams in everybody's face, takes your duffel bag and unzips it and throws the entire content on the floor. And, you know, basically just rifles through everybody's shit.
Yeah,
number one, to check for contraband. Number two, to degrade and humiliate you.
Sure.
Number three, to make everybody clean their shit up. Just as a, you know, kind of way to traumatize you.
Yep.
So so Jonesy's at the end of the line, and, you know, all these guys are getting their shit just thrown, and the guy's screaming, he's like, what are these, soldier? Cookies from home? You got cookies from your mama? Your mama's not here anymore, boy. Crumbles the cookies up, goes on.
Something as benign as cookies.
Yeah, and he's the whole time thinking, what are these dumbasses doing bringing this shit? I mean, they must know that they're going to, you know, all this stuff. So the drill sergeant gets to his bag, unzips it, throws it on the ground, this enormous Swedish penis pump.
In basic training, runs and just clatters through the floor and
spins around, like, it makes this big production, and it actually, like, took the drill sergeant aback.
He
just sat there and like got red with rage thinking that Jonesy was fucking with him. Like what, you know, and like just got
Private Joker
went nuclear with rage and made the whole platoon or whatever organizational unit do all these exercises like, oh, we've got a Joker in our group. Oh, let's see how funny you think this is. And just basically, and so the whole platoon hated Jonesy.
The hilarious
from day
thing
one
is that Jonesy is actually a Joker, and I could
yes
see him doing that.
But he's,
but it's
like
so much funnier because he didn't know.
And he's sitting there like a landed fish. Can you imagine not knowing that and seeing with horror the Swedish penis pup emerged from your bag and clattered to the floor, and he's like, he's sitting there and his mouth is just moving, no words are coming out, and he's like turned beet red. Oh.
There you go.
Do you remember how hard I campaigned for the fucking pranks episode?
Dude, I was so resistant to the pranks episode because it didn't have anything necessarily to do with geeks.
But it did.
And you were trying to spin it like, oh, geeks love to play pranks. I don't know any geeks who play pranks.
I play pranks. I'm a geek, bitch.
I guess, but I didn't know you at the time you were playing pranks. I've never seen you pull a prank. And
yeah,
if you start pulling pranks on me, I'm going to be pissed.
That's because I'm in my 30s, and I don't want unexpected shit to happen.
No.
Unless it's good.
So
unless
if I drop, like,
good
a bucket of water on your head when you come in the door, you're not going to like it?
Like, no. No.
All right.
No. So there's three pieces of feedback. Ching, ching, ching. $15 of donation. Jesse Wilson.
Yeah, Personal Arrogance fame.
Good friend from Personal Arrogance. PA.BallMove.com if you want to follow them.
Co-host of the Skyrim Companions podcast.
They are
coming in January.
They are one of the few podcasts I listen to weekly.
Yep.
Hey, wanted to give you guys some feedback for the last episode. Blue Yonder hit me out of the wild blue yonder with a declaration of war. True story.
Yeah.
I was instantly a fan and immediately became a weekly listener. This was during a pretty crappy time in my life. Oh, he's getting real.
Uh-oh.
Watch out. It's getting dusty in here. I had recently gotten dumped by a girl I loved, moved back in with my
Ouch
parents, and was commuting 3 hours each way uphill in 6 inches of snow to work a janitorial night shift in
Sounds
a brewery.
Sounds a lot like my dad.
During this dark time in my life, Blue Yonder was something to look forward to, something that made me laugh, smile, and encourage me to keep up with Personal Arrogance. I don't know how to properly articulate it, but Blue Yonder meant a damn lot to me. Now I'm working as an assistant brewer at said brewery. I live in Seattle. I'm no longer heartbroken, and all's well. Blue Yonder has been with me every step of the way. Meeting you guys in Boston was awesome. I was apprehensive right before I met you guys. I had no idea if you'd be like in person. I was afraid you guys might be weirdos. We are weirdos.
We're weirdos.
I think Jesse's just weird, too. So
yeah, a lot of geeks are weird.
Yeah, we're weird in the same way. Luckily, we hit it off and had the best time hanging out with you guys. You're both welcome in my home and on my podcast any day, and I'm honored to call you friends. Interestingly enough, I've lived in his home, and you have been on his podcast.
I have, so we're doing it again. We're doing the PAX East thing.
Yeah, he's
going
to
this year.
That's right. He's going to shack up with us again.
Yeah.
So we have abused the shit out of that offer. Which
yeah,
you wish you hadn't done that.
We're going to play some board games. We're going to check out some exhibit halls.
So he says, thanks for all the laughs, guys, and stay airing it. So again, just background on that.
Yeah.
We declared war on Personal Arrogance. We were trying to think of a way to like get a bigger audience, and we're I believe Staffa, one of our fans, came up with this idea and it was like, we should just start shit with other podcasts. Mm-hmm. Like similar, because if you start shit with like a big cast, like the Nerdist, they're just not even going to read it.
Yeah. Yeah. So we looked for similar sized podcast, and Personal Arrogance came up
and you found it. And like, I listened to it.
Well, I had been listening since day one, like
right
episode two, I think I
How the
started
hell did
on
you find them.
I was just looking on iTunes for like gaming podcast and nerd podcast, and they came up.
So we actually did this like George Orwell-esque 2 minutes hate.
Yeah.
Where we both just screamed into the microphone things we hated about the show. And we had this yep background of like sheep bleeding and machine guns and bombs going.
Yep.
It was unhinged and glorious. Yeah. And we sent him a declaration of war, basically, that we said that we hated them. And
okay, your domain name. How can you drop the ball? Personal Arrogance, at least spell it right. A-R-R-O-G-A-N-T-S. That's not how you spell arrogance.
No, how can you be arrogant about spelling arrogance wrong?
Yeah.
And your logo's got a fucking arrow running through it?
An arrow?
You didn't spell arrow, A-R-R-O-W. I'd understand that.
And a ram's head. What are you doing with a ram's head as your logo? That doesn't make any sense, man.
Goddamn
Where
sheep.
Where is that? Is that personal or arrogance? They're sheep.
And they
start with they start each cast with a mat roll off where they roll for initiative.
This is offensive.
Mat roll off is a little person.
It makes me angry.
On a television reality show about his whole clan of little people. Living.
It is. And I have a relative who's a little person. I don't find it funny at all.
You can't make fun of them. Call them midgets and roll little dice. Midget dice. It's like that's one
dice.
That's one step ahead of midget tossing. Dwarf tossing.
That's offensive to me. And then right after they go off for the mat roll off, they talk about their beer segment, and they're talking about beers that are local to Seattle. Now, yeah. I can't get these beers. They're telling me how good they are. They're telling me how tasty they are. I can't get these beers. I don't live in Seattle. Most of our listeners don't live
beer
in Seattle.
Beer teases.
I can't get them shipped out of state because it's illegal. And what am I supposed to do?
And they miss and delay the shows. We have 41 podcasts. We have 40 weeks.
40 weeks?
Plus,
gotcha.
We're not counting our bonus content that we deliver quality content to our listeners. They just miss because of a snow. There's too much snow. There's a power at it. Oh, we want to spend time with our families at Thanksgiving. Lame.
We bring it every week consistently. And I gotta say, personalarrogance.com, you can go there, but guess where it redirects you? Personalarrogance.beanfuck.com or whatever it is.
Get a goddamn hosting
get
package.
$4. Stop drinking your $4 Seattle beers and get a hosting package. That's
and
all
they,
I'm saying.
And they swear way too fucking much.
Way
so unprofessional.
Oh my god.
Matt and Jesse, worst names ever.
Worst names ever.
We're talking Mary and Jackie? Why don't Marty and
David and June? I have no idea.
This is so generic.
And they have to focus their podcast.
Two minute
that's
hate is
two
over.
Minutes, that's all I could get.
Blue yonder, blue yonder, blue yonder, blue yonder. Blue.
And we carried on like that for some while, mm-hmm. but then we started like having we invaded their show. They did a live cast.
Oh, that's right.
And they had like four, like, you know, not to talk shit about them, but they had like five or six fans. I think three of them were their moms, two of them were their girlfriends,
well,
and one guy was, and we were the other two people.
Yeah, at least in our minds, that's how it went down.
And we just heckled them.
Yeah.
We heckled
on their
them
live show.
On their live show, the entire performance. It was glorious.
I forget which episode that was, but it was like maybe in their 20s.
Yeah. They talked
shit
like
about
40s. Indianapolis.
Yeah,
they still talk shit about Indianapolis.
The Midwest
day.
Coast.
Yeah.
We've been referring to this, and I think we just need to get it off our chest. For those of you who have been checking the Twitter, have been checking the Facebook,
something's
have been checking
up.
Our website, we have been declared war upon.
Uh-huh. Here's what it was. We were sitting there peacefully minding our own business, not unlike the USS Arizona circa December 7th, 1941.
Correct. And then December 8th, 2010...
No.
Like, yes.
That's crazy. I didn't put that together.
Yes.
Out of nowhere, we are surprise attacked by a bunch of hooligans, renegades.
Yes. Renegades.
Just out of jealousy, out of the fact that we represent the might, strength, ingenuity, and industry of America. And we're just sitting there minding our own business. And then, boom, surprise attack.
Yes.
But
from
you know
Empire
what?
Of Blue Yonder at Bald Move.
But you know what? Unlike the USS Arizona,
mm-hmm.
we're not gonna going to roll
down.
Over.
Oh, jeez. Oh, sorry. I was going to try to talk at once, but it didn't work out there. But it's true. We did get declared war upon formally.
Formally.
And you can go to personalarrogance.com and look at that. We posted that, the official notice of feud, along with a message saying that we will prevail
mm-hmm.
in this feud.
But we're peaceful people.
We are peaceful people. And, you know, Jesse, you know this. Jesus is my homeboy.
Uh-huh.
And if there's one thing I learned from the big dude, the big J, really, the founder of the J conspiracy, it's that...
honorary fifth member.
It's that by loving others... By loving your enemies, it will be like heaping coals upon their head.
Oh, I like that.
And so, you know, this all started with a 2 minute hate on Blue Yonder's episode 41 podcast. You can listen to it at, I believe it's 1 hour, 19 minutes into the show.
Yeah, something like that. Trust me, you'll want to skip. You'll want to skip ahead.
God. But they did a 2 minute late. Hate, so we're going to do a 2 minute love.
Yeah. We're calling this Kill 'em with Kindness.
Kill 'em with Kindness.
Kill 'em with Kindness. So we're just going to talk about all the things we like, and I'm going to get us started. You know what I like about their podcast?
What is it?
I like that they're not afraid to talk about boring things.
I know.
They're, you know, a lot of people in the entertainment industry, are so caught up about being entertaining
right.
that they lose sight of the fact that it's okay to talk about what type of mouse is best for half an hour. And it's those boring conversations that you don't get in a lot of the entertainment industry. So I like that. I like that they have the courage to be boring.
They have the courage to be boring. And another thing I like is that, you know, a big gripe that they had with us is that we skipped a podcast. Uh-huh. We had weather. We had Thanksgiving. And you know, I just love that they can stick to their guns and they can get this done every week. I mean, you know, we're busy guys. There's a lot to do here.
Yeah,
in Seattle.
You know what it is.
You have you know, sometimes, you know, we're on G4.
Yeah,
we're doing all these things. There's so much to do.
Yeah,
that it must be so great to live in a place where you can just focus on. You don't have anything.
That's
any
exactly
distractions
it.
At all.
That's exactly it. The middle of the country is known to be empty.
Empty.
I mean, it's just. And wouldn't that be great? Eric, can you imagine it? Imagine all the free time if we weren't getting caught up by, like, going to Upright Citizens Brigade or seeing Tim and Eric or going to concerts.
You know, drinking great beer.
Or drinking great beer, you know, and hanging out with friends. Yeah. Like, imagine all we could broadcast every day if we wanted to, if we lived there.
Yeah.
But we just get caught up in this amazing
this stuff
city.
To do.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
God.
It's
but
really
I like,
it, Dad.
I like that. And, you know, we're coming down after Thanksgiving, and I'm still zazzed up. I just love being thankful for stuff. Mm-hmm. And I like that they've made me thankful that I live in the microbrew capital of the world.
Capital of the world. I mean, it must be terrible to not have any beers around you that are drinkable.
Yeah. So I like that they make me
appreciate
the fact that we have these amazing beers and we get to, you know, enjoy them
the
way the beer was supposed to be drank, not some corporate swill.
Exactly. And, you know, and another gripe that they had with us is that, you know, our name is a little weird and we have kind of a weird logo and they don't really connect. We're misspelled. We have an arrow. I mean, it's just crazy. And I really like the fact that their web address has nothing to do with their podcast.
Yeah, that's great.
I mean, that really, that's like the switcheroo that we're trying to get with our misspelling. And, when you search Blue Yonder on Google, they don't come up for time after time after time, but, you know,
you just can't find them.
You just can't find them. And that exclusivity is something we've been striving for with our misspelling.
We did it wrong.
I mean, our misspelling, if you search personal arrogance, we're the first thing that pops
up. Yeah, it pops right up.
I don't even, you know, it's kind of terrible. So, I think that's about 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's
so
probably
about. So once again, go over to baldmove.com, listen to it out.
And you know
listen
what?
To them. And if you have any compliments for them, send them our way and we'll make sure to say them.
Yeah. Yeah. And no, say it to them. Yeah. Say it to them. And the most passive-aggressive compliment wins.
Yes.
Guys. The most passive-aggressive. And I'm just happy for them.
I'm happy for them,
they
too.
They finally found a hobby.
Yes.
I'm just so happy that they...
I'm glad that we could support them in that hobby.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just so glad to, like, give them a leg up. I just want to give them a little bit of a boost. And, I mean, I've seen their Twitter, the number of followers.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So... Get over there and join their Twitter, guys.
Join their Twitter. And let them know how great they are.
Yeah.
We love you.
We love
it. Blue Yonder.
We love it.
We love you.
We love you because we want to help you.
We love you because we want to help you, and we love you so much. God, I love you so much. I love you so much. Oh, my gosh. I love you. I love you so much.
So it was great. One of my best experiences coming out of Blue Yonder.
Yep, made some good friends. That was fun.
Our ultimate fan, our longest lasting fan there from the beginning,
Staffa. Yeah.
He said, I just now got this. He said, instead of Dear Blue Yonder, he put Dead Blue Yonder.
It's not dead, goddammit. We're still podcasting.
It's just, like the personal arrogance guy said, we're defunct. We're just resting.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the Norwegian pigeon or Norwegian parrot.
What? You lost me. Keep going.
Wow. Monty Python, huh? First off, I want to thank you to Big Lugs of Blue Yonder for creating Staffa's Corner. Staffa's Corner is one of the best things that ever happened to the internet.
I think it's an African swallow. Norwegian parrot. What are you talking about?
Shut up. You're demeaning yourself and the listeners by your ignorance of Monty Python.
Norwegian parrot. You're talking about the dead bird in the pet store.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
Norwegian blue.
I was thinking Holy Grail.
He thanks us for creating Staffa's Corner because, like, for the longest time, he's the only one that gave us feedback.
Yeah.
So we gave him, like, 2 or 3 minutes each show to, like, talk about whatever he wanted to talk about, and he also started demanding we read it in increasingly deranged accents.
Yeah. The Randy Savage one.
That's my favorite.
Pretty brutal.
Yeah.
I liked it, though.
I've not read Staffa's email, but he wants it read in a Macho Man Randy Savage accent. Can I do this?
Oh, yeah.
Can I do this?
Can you do it?
Let me see. Let's see who's got the best accent.
All right. What should we say? Well, it's
Dear Blue Yonder.
Oh, Dear Blue Yonder.
Let's get your best. Let's hear it. Dear
Blue Dear Blue Yonder.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You actually might have it, me.
But that's going to kill. I'll have to check out of the podcast after that. That's going to totally destroy my voice.
Okay.
But I'll do it. I'll do it for the fans. All right.
But I'm just really feeling this one, man.
All right, well, we'll trade off each sentence, right?
Okay. So line by line. Okay. Who wants to start?
Here we go.
Am I going to start?
You can start, yeah.
With the Dear Blue Yonder?
Sure.
Dear Blue Yonder, every superhero and cartoon character gets their chance, yeah, to save and participate in every Christian holiday, brother. Oh, yeah. Everyone gets to save Christmas. You got the Elmo, Ernest, Felix the Cat, Inspector Gadget, Bonesaw is ready for even Batman and Robin to help Santa out. Yeah.
When is Spider-Man gonna get a chance to save Pongy?
Or Superman gonna fast during Ramadan?
Or SpongeBob gonna celebrate Buddha's birthday during Vegas?
Snap into a Slim Jim, yeah!
Oh, yeah!
Staffa!
Woo! Oh, the voice. The voice is,
I feel like I've been through a steroid cycle.
I got the veins popping.
Oh,
I got.
I'm pumped.
I got the blood flow. I'm pumped. I feel like I just worked out.
I feel like I need to go grab Miss Elizabeth, drag her into the ring, and slap her around a bit.
I feel like actually that's how Macho Man Randy Savage works out. I don't think he actually works. He just speaks.
Oh yeah, that's a workout. That's a P90X workout.
Absolutely,
I'm sweating,
man.
Like goddamn, I don't know, like. The Rock Johnson on Fast and Furious 5.
Yeah.
He's pissed that he never read our Brooklyn Accent Mario email, which that's because we just couldn't do it. I don't think we did. We weren't able to credibly do half of the accents, but like that one is just like we really couldn't do it.
Yeah, I had nothing, despite my dad being from New York.
He wanted to know whose voice we found more painful, Harvey Fienstein or Gilbert Gottfried?
Gottfried.
Really? Yeah. I had a hard problem with the Feinstein.
Well, I don't. What did he do? Because I don't really know.
He's the gay guy that's got the really like heavy smokers, like that. Oh, you boy, that guy.
Oh, from Independence Day.
Yeah, and from Mrs.
Okay.
Doubtfire.
Okay, yeah, no, it's him. It's definitely him.
That was a tough one. he said, I love all the magical moments that were in Blue Yonder, from the time where Jim invented laser tag hair removal to the time when Peter.
All right, I want to flesh out an idea that I had the other day.
Oh.
I was talking about...
Flesh it out.
I was talking about how men are typically hairy. Men don't always want hair. You're a bit of a mammoth.
I wish we had a live stream, because I just...
We need the live stream.
Yeah, I just showed
Next
my,
week, live stream, right?
I just showed my manly sweater, chest sweater.
His manly visage. So guys are typically hairy. Women want hair removal in certain places. Hair removal is a thing. So I decided, I was thinking about this. I think we should have laser tag hair removal. I think we should get, instead of just your standard laser tag game, you give everyone hair removal lasers. You strap them with helmets so they don't lose their hair on their head.
Or their eyesight.
Well, give them glasses. Give them special polarized lenses, whatever. But you
welder's mask.
Exactly. You give them hair removal lasers and you just set up a laser tag arena. And you'll know when you get hit because
Hell
there'll be a big blank spot right on your chest.
Plus, I've heard that laser hair removal feels like getting snapped by a rubber band.
There you go. Perfect.
What if that hits your ball sack, man?
Hair gone. Hair removed instantly.
Testicles traumatized.
Yeah, there are some issues we have to work out. But I want to work through it here. Like, how would you do hair, laser tag hair removal?
Okay. I know a little bit more about laser hair removal than a person probably should. Because I'm a hairy fucker, and I used to think about, where would I get hair removed from? And
where would you get hair removed from, actually?
Probably my back. I've got more hair on my back.
Back hair's a nuisance.
I don't have the Unisweater But there's more back here that I really want.
And that's really the only place that you really, it's unnatural to have it, right? So you don't want it.
My big toe.
You can trim that easily. You can't trim the back. That's the hard part.
The hobbit feet. And I guess that laser hair removal works best when you've got the lighter skin and darker the hair, the more successful it is. Because basically, it bombards you with this light energy, and dark skin absorbs more of the energy, and light hair doesn't absorb the energy. So, like, the worst, like, if you were African American with blonde hair, you're fucking out of luck.
No hair removal for you.
Nope. If you are a pale,
racist hair removal,
if you
lasers.
Are a Serbian with like translucently white skin and dark matted hair, you're gonna have a good experience because the hair is just gonna absorb it all and be vaporized.
So ideally, the time to get hair removed is during the dead of winter.
Yes. So it's like I just don't know how to. I don't know. I think this is a bald move. This is a bald idea, Jim.
I like it. I mean, it serves two purposes, entertainment and hair removal.
The type of laser.
You can combine those.
The type of laser that you're going to want,
moneymaker.
If that hits your eyeball, it's a horror show. Because not only are you losing your eyelashes, but you're probably frying your retina, too.
I didn't even think about that, losing eyelashes. Somebody hit you in the eyebrow on purpose. Bastards.
You come out looking like Vanilla Ice. That's not cool. God. Nobody wins in that scenario.
Not at all.
From a time when Peter decided it'd be a good idea to have Fedor Emelianenko armbar a zombie.
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to have to go with Fedor Emelianenko.
See, I think that's a bad pick. I think that's a horrible pick.
Who the hell is Emelianenko?
He's the pit fighter.
He's the best fighter on the face of the earth right now.
He's going to hand-to-hand combat zombies.
That's the worst possible.
Putting a zombie in an arm bar seems like a bad thing to do in a crowd of them. Putting your arm in
that's true.
Range.
Hey, can I take that back?
Yes. Maybe you should. No, you know what? We're sticking with it just for comedy's sake.
I'm sticking with it.
He puts him in an arm bar, the zombie fights him, and then now you're fighting a zombie form of one of the deadliest men on Earth. Brilliant.
Oh, God. Yeah, that one might come back to bite you. Literally.
I know what the first thing I'm going to do is, Woody, shoot Fedor. Bam!
Yeah, get rid of him. Oh, yeah, Fedor is going to be shot on sight.
Fedor may come back to haunt me. He may be overwhelmed in a crowd-type situation. If it's just me, Fedor, and a single zombie, I think we're in good shape.
Yeah, sure.
But, I mean, running from the horde, probably not. Because he likes to ground and pound, and that's going to delay the escape.
Fedor, come on, goddammit, we don't have time to
stand up,
guys.
Stand up! Stand up!
Has got him into a reverse Kimura! Oh, fuck, I forgot about it. I should think that. Oh, well. I'm stuck with him now, I guess.
And to conclude this final Sophist Corner, here is Harvey Feinstein's top 7. Number 7, Cheers. Number 6, Robin Williams. Number 5, Death the Smoochie. Number 4, Independence Day. Number 2, Miss Doubtfire. Or no, number 3, Miss Doubtfire. Number 2, The Don Turns Me On. Number 1, Mulan. Oh, he was in Mulan.
If you haven't seen
Death to Smoochie,
check that out. That's a seriously messed up but awesome movie.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorites. I love it.
It's got Ed Norton.
Danny DeVito.
Oh.
Yeah. Really good movie.
Harvey Feinstein.
All playing characters who they don't usually play, like especially Ed Norton. He's playing this ultra-conservative, nice guy. Really, really cool performance.
He's basically playing Barney the goddamn dinosaur.
Essentially, yeah. 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 It's a play on that.
You're a beautiful man and give me a kiss, for Don Staffa. Oh, shit. I'm supposed to read the whole thing like Harvey Feinstein.
Ah, shit.
Oh, well.
Too bad.
Darn it. There's another piece of feedback. My count, we had 5.
5. That's $25.
I'm going to make it an even 100.
Whoa!
Yeah, $100 going to Child's Play Charity. I will make that donation. I will post a redacted image of the receipt to our Facebook fan site so everybody can feel good about that. This was fun. We should do it again sometime.
We will. We will.
4 more months.
Blue Yonder is not dead. It's defunct.
No. And here's the deal. I actually have a really awesome rant about the state of the geek that I'm going to unleash before PAX East, which is in April.
Yeah.
It's actually in March. It's early in
April.
March.
No, early April. 6th through 9th.
I'm definitely
8th?
Going to do a Blue Yonder before then.
Yeah.
And we also, the other thing that we've got that we have yet to unleash is the, let me see if I can find it here, the Mel Gibson So Gentile.
Oh, boy. Oh, God. I thought we did this, but maybe
no,
not.
No, we were going to do it on the final episode, and we just didn't.
Wow.
It was so bad, we had to cut it. I'll give you a preview. Mel Gibson, so Gentile, he doesn't believe in carpentry, calling it a ridiculous Zionist myth.
Okay. Carpentry doesn't exist.
He keeps a whole unit of blood on hand so he could rapidly infuse it to any unbled meat he might consume. That's pretty fucking Gentile.
Yeah. He wants the blood in his meat.
Yeah. So, okay. We got that to look forward to. Mm. What else we got to talk about, Jim?
I think that might be it.
Are you going to initiate the outro sequence?
I can. Yeah, I don't remember it. It's been 4 months since we've done one of these podcasts.
Well, if you want to keep up with what we're doing and across the vast, increasing Bald Move empire,
yeah,
you can find us at baldmove.com. Our Facebook fan site is Bald, which I don't even – we're going to like lose half the subscribers tomorrow – is facebook.com/baldmove. You can email us blueyonder@baldmove.com, Twitter @baldmove. And if you like what we're doing, find our Blue Yonder podcast on the iTunes. Give us a 1 to 4 5-star review.
Yeah.
And that's it. We pretty much read all feedback on this on air, just like we do all our casts. So love us, hate us, whatever. Sure. Want to fight us? Want to strip down to the waist? Come at me, bro.
And see you at PAX.
And I think you say something like, until next time.
Yeah,
I say
the same thing that I say in every podcast. Yeah. Until next time, I'm Jim Jones.
And I'm Aaron Hubbard. Ciao.